The Democratic field of presidential hopefuls is expanding. Montana Governor Steve Bullock announced today that he is running for president, making him the 22nd Democratic candidate seeking the party's nomination.
This is the fight of our time. It's been the fight of my career. I'm Steve Bullock, and I'm running for president. With your help, we will take our democracy back.
Later this week, Bullock is expected to head to Iowa, home to the country's first presidential election caucus. And that's where we find O.K. Henderson, news director for Radio Iowa. Kay, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
So as Steve Bullock gets into this race, he's the 22nd candidate on the Democratic side. What case is he going to make in Iowa? Or what void is there that's ready for him to fill?
He's going to make the case that he has been the chief executive of a state, that people in the western United States make decisions in a different way. They're less confrontational. They're more collaborative. That's the message he's been sending Iowans since he's been coming out here for the past several months. He made several trips here in 2018. And when he gets here later this week, he will have beside him Iowa's long-serving Attorney General Tom Miller, who will be endorsing him.
But how is he going to go up against somebody like Joe Biden, who's now at the top of the pack in all the polls across the country?
That's the key question for, you know, many of these 20-some candidates who've announced. How will they make the case that they are more electable in the long term as opposed to the former vice president? You certainly have sort of a two-tier system developing out here. You have Biden, you have Sanders, who's well-known, and you have Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's been percolating up the polls. You have Cory Booker, the New Jersey senator, who has a strong on-the-ground team here in Iowa. So it's going to be difficult for someone like a Montana governor, Steve Bullock, to make a dent here, especially since he's entering so late in this contest.
You didn't mention Kamala Harris there. Why not?
She has, I think, a different strategy. I think that she's hoping to do well enough to go on to New Hampshire and then really make her mark in South Carolina. And then, of course, there's been all this talk about Californians are going to start voting by absentee the day of the Iowa caucuses. So I think she's also banking on the idea that she can do well in her home state.
And what about Pete Buttigieg, who's gotten a lot of press coverage over the last several weeks?
He certainly has. He's made a couple of trips to the state of Iowa. He is lagging behind some of his competitors, even those who aren't in the top ranks of any poll in terms of people on the ground here. And he has acknowledged that he needs to sort of ramp up his game and hire some people who can spread his message when he is not here to do it himself.
Okay, and then there's Beto O'Rourke, who just finished a five-day tour all over Iowa. Here he is last week responding to an emotional teen who asked him what he'd do as president about school shootings.
These are our three concrete steps, from universal background checks to banning weapons of war sold into our communities to red flag laws that can begin to save more lives and make sure that you come into school not worrying about whether you're going to encounter an active shooter.
How's he doing in Iowa?
He's doing okay. I don't think he's doing as well as some might have expected given his high-profile Senate race in Texas. But he has acknowledged that he needs to come here and do more work on the ground. He has a strong team in place in Iowa, and he's coming back to the state to campaign next week. And in terms of that issue that you just raised, that's one of the interesting things as you listen to these candidates engage with voters. That's often a question that's asked often by young people who are attending these events. How can you make it safe for me to be in school?
What are the other big issues for Iowa voters right now, Kay?
Many of them are being asked about climate change, but underlying many of these issues is this percolating idea of how will you face off against Donald Trump in the general election? How will you carry the Democratic banner, if you will? So electability, whatever that means to any individual voter, is really top of mind here.
And how does Bernie do on that score, Bernie Sanders?
He certainly has a core of supporters here who supported him in 2016. he hasn't been as aggressive here in terms of personally campaigning as some of the other candidates have been. He does have a strong campaign team on the ground. I think he's trying to hold on to that core of supporters that he had in the last caucuses and perhaps challenge the former vice president here for maybe a 1-2 finish.
Have Iowa voters gotten to the point where they're sick of all this yet, or is it still pretty exciting to have all the candidates around?
You know, people are really into it, and that's been one of the interesting factors as I cover these campaigns around the state and the candidates. Many of the people who are seeing one candidate are seeing 10. So they are really, really engaged in this campaign.
That is OK Henderson, news director at Radio Iowa. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
They're seeing 10, but that means there are still 12 others on the Democratic side that they haven't seen.
Slackers.
Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here Now.